You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
There are some dudes that just, all they do is post, like, pictures of hot girls on their stories.
Sure.
Who's that?
Like, eight of them in a row. Just like random dudes on Facebook that are fans of ours. And it has no...
Oh, really?
It has nothing to do with
us. They're not promoting a product. They're not... It's nothing just like, hey, check out this hot girl. Like, that's weird to
right.
me.
Is it?
Right.
Like, what if you did that in person? What if you walked around with a book full of Polaroid pictures of hot girls and just walked up to strangers like, hey, check it out.
Yeah.
See that?
Yeah, that's just...
I've done it, though. I've showed people, like, pussy shots, like strangers.
Yeah, but that's
like,
women you... Anything that's women. Pussy. That's women you know.
Right, that's like showing somebody your like trophy case, right?
Yeah,
but imagine
true.
You have trophies of other athletes like in your house, but they're not even famous. They're not even famous. It's one thing if you bought like a trophy from like a real event, but
yeah.
if you just got like some 1997 bowling trophy from like a regional thing, that's essentially mm-hmm. what that is, right?
Yeah.
This Basically. This should be the start of the show, by the way.
Yeah,
we usually do some pre-interviews. Giorgio just gave us the thumbs up. It's true.
Am I allowed to smoke on this?
Yeah. Dan smokes on it every single day.
I'm
Dan
smoking.
Dan smokes weed every day.
I just know Dan's always high. I don't know if he's, you know.
Yeah, he's, oh, no, yeah. he smokes.
With the how podcasting has like, literally like podcasting in the last 2 weeks has literally changed so much because I think there's just, especially with like Call Her Daddy and Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
And I think the corporate, like my management, who's never given a fuck about my podcast, is like, Grill, so this podcast you're bringing
oh,
back.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, and I'm like, yo, everyone, relax. Like, this isn't supposed to be corporate, right? It's
yeah.
supposed to be like it's supposed to be underground radio.
Well,
it's like,
here's what's happening, like, on a serious note here with podcasts. It is it's replacing terrestrial radio. So that's all gone. You're in LA right now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So K-Rock, you know, they fired their entire morning team. That was the staple of Los Angeles for fucking 35 years.
They fire them just because there's no money?
Yes. Yeah, the ratings okay. are gone and everybody's listening to podcasts in the morning. So the biggest times for podcasts are morning drives and afternoon drives. And looking at those statistics, when I saw them, I was like, oh, shit. Well, if people are listening to them on the way to work and home, then that means they're not listening to radio anymore at those times. And sure enough, that's what's happening. So you're seeing these little radio stations, your local ones, whatever city you live in, collapsing. And they can't keep up. Or they've got to dock the salary.
It's not
of,
just radio, though. Comedy Central fired their entire executive staff.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, what, 2 weeks ago or some shit?
But
like
that's why this bleeds over into podcasts as well.
Yeah, right.
Is with Rogan, people are watching podcasts. So you take... Bert Kreischer and Your Mom's House and all those guys, they're all on video and their video shows are massive. If Comedy Central was doing the numbers that Your Mom's House is doing right now, they'd be in business.
Yeah.
So
the problem is too much red tape, right? That's the beauty of a podcast is you guys could do whatever you want. I could do whatever I want. Like in the end, if I don't have advertisers on my podcast, I'll just promote merch. Like,
yeah,
it's the beauty is of podcasting is no red tape, right? The minute you sign a check with Clear Channel or whatever,
yep.
and you know, you just listen to watch Private Parts, WNBC. Like, you're like, dude, it's all like that's the old guard.
Yeah.
And also, I think the fact that the past few years everything is on demand makes makes media feel more like a buffet, right? Like you kind of pick and choose what you want to watch instead of like, oh, I'm stuck listening to the seven stations that are programmed in my car since I was like 15, right? Like,
yeah,
those are the stations you drove to now because you had no choice. So you had to listen. Back then, you had to have like tastemakers, right? Like you're like, I got to listen to K-Rock in New York because that's where Stern is.
Mm.
Like you hope to like follow things that you agreed with. Now you're just searching it out. Like you're like, that's the guy, I'm going to go listen to him on his platform.
Well, the reason why is the movies as well with comedies. So, you know, you used to be able to have, 10, 12 comedy movies out a year.
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore. So if you want to follow your favorite comedians that you used to watch in movies,
right,
if you want to hear what they're saying, you have to go to podcasts. And that's the only way you can have original thoughts and opinions that aren't watered down or PC. And I mean, look, if you look at the last, let's just take, there should be some form of law of like pre-election, post-election of 2016. Like, hey, here's what you can say post-November 3rd, 2016. Because I feel like that's right. When it all changed. That, you know, everybody became so sensitive and everything else. If you look at what's gone on in comedy since Trump got elected, they've taken the fun out of every single thing in Hollywood there is. I can't remember a true comedy that has come out in a long time that wasn't like straight to Netflix or something like that. Like in a theater comedy. Like when's the last theater comedy that you saw
that one that
laughed your ass off?
The one that Seth Rogen did with the kids was an attempt at that, but I thought it was kind of cringy, to be honest. I didn't think it was
I haven't even been to a movie theater in God knows how long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I love that it's all on Netflix. It's so much better than having to leave your house.
Totally. Like, but the other thing is the non-censorship of it. So even if your favorite stars were starring in comedy movies, that's going to be watered down through the executives, the writers, and everybody else. Now you can just go listen to your favorite comedian say whatever fucked up shit comes to their mind. You can watch them smoke weed on air. You can fucking, you feel like you're hanging out with them. And if you're funny now, you're fucking funny and your podcast is huge. Versus a corporation can't give you enough press or marketing to make you more interesting or funny in podcasts, in my opinion.
Right, because in the end, their narrative they're trying to drive is based on sales, and your narrative is authenticity. Mm-hmm. And when you try to blend the two, it gets convoluted. That's why it's like, you know, like, I think it was cool to see Will Smith get on social media because you thought, you don't need to, right? Like, Smith. But then you see the shit he's putting out and he's pushing the technology. My boy's this video guy and you're like, holy shit, they're doing all these cool things. They're climbing bridges. They're doing these visual effects. And then he explained, he's like, dude, why am I going to let all these companies speak for me when I could just talk into the camera and tell you how I feel, whether you agree with it or not? That's the thing, mm-hmm. right? Before, actors and actresses could hide behind, well, I'm playing a character. This was my role. Mm-hmm. So now I think some of them could probably take advantage of the fact that, like, this is what I really stand for. And that probably is what scares a lot of people too, is drawing a line in the sand. Because essentially their whole careers have been like, well, these are characters I play, right? Like, I'm not really a Nazi, whoever plays the Nazi in Glorious Bastards, right? Until you fucking give somebody a microphone and they say some dumb shit.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And I think that that's like part of your appeal is everybody follows your Instagram or followed it before it got nuked. I don't know if it's still going, but
He's back.
Oh, I have a third. I have another one, dude. So this is the craziest part. Like, they kick me off. I mean, we'll just go. I'll just go buy a new name. Like,
yeah,
we
yeah.
just got Meanie. I was like, fuck it, let's go with that name. At least that's kind of on brand. And I'm kind of like herpes. Like, you know, like you can kind of like make me go away for a little bit, but I'll always come back. It's too much fun not to be online.
It is, and it's fun following you in particular because you're doing all the shit that everybody wishes they could go out and do on a nightly basis, and that's part of the fun and magic of that as well. Because let's face it, a fucking executive isn't going to say, "Here, Kirill, here's a bunch of money to go on Comedy Central and go fuck up a nightclub for the night, right. Pour champagne on titties."
Because those executives don't have vision. Right. Like the idea is the person, you guys sitting there are the ones with the vision. And this is the first, I don't know. I like saying first time, but obviously it's probably been a decade of podcasting and social media that you're in control of your own vision. And instead of letting some fucking guy who's like, I'm going to tell you that this is how the business works. Like the caller daddy example, right? Like some schmuck who thinks he knows what he's talking about with no vision. Cause all he knows is I can cut deals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And with the caller daddy stitch, I know the one ended up coming back, but the other one is gone now, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know the details that far, but it seems like she got fucked by her boyfriend and fucked herself over too.
Well, he's an executive at HBO and, you know, he's trying to cut deals like it's HBO. And the problem is those deals aren't structured like that anymore. That's not how it works. But when I saw their salary, I was shocked by it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, based on
good or bad?
Oh, great! What,
like they were making.
I thought they were underpaid.
Half a million.
A million a piece, and they're only doing one show a week.
Although, I mean, again, look. All they had to do was wait a little bit longer to re-own their IP again, and they would have been making probably $2 to $5 million a year each.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But instead, the one girl goes crazy.
She got greedy, and but then
that's,
she fucked
that's how it
up.
Is, man. A lot of people get bad advice from other people, and then especially when they're young, and it makes them make stupid decisions. Like when somebody that you respect and trust tells you to do something, you are probably...
Right, like imagine, like, I mean, we've all been there.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
all of us, how many times have you taken advice from like a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or you're like, they're like, "Yo, you're not getting paid enough." Like Joe Rogan, I heard is getting $100 million in a week, and you're right behind him. How are you working for $500K a year?
Yeah,
but it's like, hey, but the difference is, Joe Rogan put in the work. Mm-hmm. Like that's a 10-year legacy of podcasting. You understand the value, the library that comes with it. Like you guys stepped in shit, and you're very talented. Clearly, you do something right that it worked. Plenty of women have tried to do podcasting and never reached those kind of levels. Like it's, but like you gotta, people don't like fast trajectories, right? Like Dane Cook is the perfect example. Like people didn't like that.
Yeah.
Like in the comedy world, in the podcast world, I feel like you need to earn your keep.
Yeah. And Dane Cook is a perfect example. I remember during that whole period, cause I was in LA when he fucking blew up like that. And I mean, just exploded overnight.
Right.
The thing about it is like I don't shit on Dane Cook like everybody else does. I think he made some bad decisions later on. But when he was doing his, you know, stand-up specials and fuck man, he was in a circle in the middle of a goddamn arena. I mean, it was
MSG. I was at MSG cuz I worked at Caroline, so we produced the show. Like he was like you were like you I stood there and I was like the only two people to do this before him are
George
Carlin and Dice.
No. Yeah.
I mean, and he was just like
he was a rock star during that period. I mean, a fucking rock star.
He was also really funny. He was also super funny. Like
he was. I thought people hated him because they thought that he didn't do the work, right? Like comics love, you know, you got to be on the road, you find your voice, da 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 da. There's a certain like
I think the other shine that wore off on him was, you know, it's what you're going to do immediately after that. And one of the first projects he did was a documentary on his life on the road for HBO with his buddies. And he just came off like such an asshole in real life that people were like,
is that what happened? I didn't really watch it. Is that what it? Yeah,
that's what happened. And he had some bad management advice and
family members.
Yeah.
His brother stole his money. Right?
And then he testified against him in court and sent him to jail. So his brother's in prison right now.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, for stealing his money. You know, I always look back to, like, Mr. Brooks. Who told him that was a good idea for him to pop up in a Kevin Costner movie?
Yeah, I mean.
Look, every comedian is always trying to, not every comedian, but anybody that's trying to act goes to that period where you want to be, what's his name?
Kumail
Nanjiani. He was like, stand up. Then he did whatever the fuck on, what was the name of that IT show?
Oh, Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley, which is really funny, by the way. It's
a great show.
Yeah. He did that. Then he's starting to do some comedy stuff, but he's done some dramatic. I think everybody envisions himself just like every athlete wants to be a rock star and every rock star wants to be an athlete. I think these comedians often envision themselves as someone who could be a great dramatic actor.
Like a Renaissance man, right? Yeah. Well, I think the drama in their life probably comes from real life drama. So they're like, hey, my life actually does suck.
Yeah.
I'm probably very depressed. I could play a dramatic role.
Yeah.
Look at Robin Williams. Like he did some fucking good, dark roles.
Yeah. Father of the Year is one of the best movies that he did. And nobody even knows about
Insomnia. Remember?
Insomnia is fucked up. Good Will Hunting. Look, he won an Oscar for Good Will Hunting.
He was incredible. He's a great actor.
Yeah. But that's also but that's like comparing someone to Robin Williams, who was like clearly a fucking.
Yeah.
That's a talent of a different level.
That guy you were just talking about, Dan, pop up a picture of this, Giorgio, put the market. He fucking
am I going to see this or no?
You will not see it. The listeners will. No worries. But
what is it?
He took a bunch of steroids.
Kumail Nanjiani however you say his name.
Oh, and he did Men's Health. I worked with his wife. His wife, Emily Gordon, worked with us when I worked at Comics. She was she was in the office with us.
Yeah.
And it's wild when they wrote that movie about their life.
Yeah.
Right? About how, like, she almost died when they met or something.
I enjoyed that movie. But when I saw him, I don't know what movie this is that he's doing where he's on steroids. But, like, that's it. Was that what it's called?
Oh, the one with Dave Bautista?
Yeah, Dave Bautista.
Is that Stuber?
Yeah, I think so. I saw a picture of him the other day, and he's all jacked up on steroids, and I was like, oh, shit.
So here's my question, because I don't know anything about physical fitness. When I see his like Men's Health cover,
yeah,
and I'm walking past it, I'm like, all right, that's a comic, and that look in that kind of shape. Look, when I see Kevin Hart, I'm like, you're just naturally athletic, mm-hmm. right? Like you're black, you're tight, you're in shape. Like it's just like I get that. Like every black guy I've ever met is like built like the Batman suit, right? But like when you see an Indian comic that ripped, you're like, I'm not used to seeing that. So I'm like, is that natural? Like, no. Can someone achieve that? So that's why, like, when I see it on the stands.
It depends on what you mean by natural. I mean,
I assume when people go like, oh, like get into shape, like this actor got in for like the new Marvel movie. I'm like, yeah, you get paid a bunch of money. They give you a personal trainer and a chef. You could probably achieve those results naturally, right?
No, you still need the juice.
It depends on what you mean by naturally. Any man over 25 years old, your testosterone levels start to decrease rapidly, and it's because of the food we eat and our fucking just bullshit lifestyle these days.
So you're saying on keto, no matter how much weight I lose, I'll never have abs?
No.
I need to actually you will not.
I'll tell you what happens. This is for every male that listens, every dude out there, right? All your favorite superheroes that you see, Chris Pratt, Ryan Reynolds.
I just think they have a team that's like, you're being paid so much money, like fucking get on the treadmill. Here's a chef making you the most purest, healthiest thing that you need for your body so that in 2 months you can play a superhero.
But there's one person from that team that you're neglecting to leave out. And that's that motherfucking doctor that's giving you that juice, brother.
Yeah, I mean, look, I assume that any
really,
yes.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's not like anabolic steroids though. They're probably
the best shit ever.
What they're probably getting is straight testosterone injections to bring them up to a level somewhere between 800 and 1,000, which is what a young, like 25-year-old should be somewhere in that range. So you just turn your body around to a 25-year-old. Then you take things like HCG that. Mm-hmm. Helps produce natural testosterone. Then you take things like somorlin, which is basically it activates HGH that's already in your system, so you gain muscle rapidly and you burn fat rapidly. But then, of course, you're right about the other part. They definitely have trainers and shit, and they spend all
goddamn day
eating.
Yep.
Like when what's his nuts, Henry Cavill was doing the first Superman movie. First of all, he was already a buff dude. He packed on 25 more pounds of muscle over the course of about 4 months. Right.
Yeah.
Which means he's a guy that's his size. I think he's 6'1" or 6'2". That's that large. He's probably eating something like 8,000 to 10,000 calories a day during those training periods.
Yeah.
Fuck Jesus. That. Like that's you're eating and working out all goddamn day. That is unrealistic. You at home are never going to look like that.
No. And the best interview that recently came out was Rob McElhenney from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Remember when he got shredded? He's still shredded, and he was doing a Q&A with. You know, some of the fans of the show, and they were like, hey, how did you go from fat to that shredded so quickly or whatever? And he goes, oh man, you know, I was just eating healthy. I was on the treadmill. I was with my trainer twice a day. And then he goes, and then I was with my doctor who's giving me testosterone. And those doctor visits are really important. And he goes, I would go back to the gym and then I would go back to my doctor again. And three times a week, he was going to get injections. And that's what it is. We broke it down with Dr. Frank. We had a doctor on our show who gives Dan and I TRT. Mm-hmm. And he was breaking it down. He goes, look, if you want to look like those guys, the injections, you're just coming in every day. And he goes, it's super quick. The needles are small. And it goes in your stomach. And he goes, you'll be there in 3 to 4 months.
So question, I literally feel like I'm learning a lot right now. So mm-hmm. I have some questions.
Yeah, fire away.
If I don't work out and I just take that shot, what happens to me?
Then you'll look like me, basically.
Oh, I'm down.
Because I don't work out.
But I mean, let me see a muscle. Because I have nothing.
I haven't worked out in a year and a half. I like to work out. It's just I haven't felt like it, so I didn't. And to be honest, the difference between me working out and not working out is real slim. So I'm just like, I'll take care of that.
Yeah,
when I need to.
I think I need to work out because I just don't have a manly presence to me. Like I still feel like a child. Like even when I talk to my parents, like I don't have like you guys are sitting there and you look like men.
like the way you could wear a watch, right? Like my, look at this thing. It's like a fucking little, it's like a girl's wrist. Like I really, like I, that's, I think, I don't know, maybe that's why people don't really Me Too me, because they're like, Kirill looks more like a victim than a fucking perpetrator.
Oh, well, I don't know. You do look sort of like a perpetrator, just not in the way you're,
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I know what you
mean. But you got really thin, man. So you're doing something.
Yeah.
Whenever somebody says, by the way, you've gotten really thin, what they're really saying, that's a backdoor compliment. What they're really saying is, you used to be a fat piece of shit.
No.
And I appreciate that. I, dude.
You were never fat. You were never fat.
No, I was. Dude, I saw a photo of myself at a party where at 4 a.m, I'm holding a champagne flute. And there's a chicken nugget hanging off the edge of it, like it's like a lemon wedge. Yeah. And I was like, that's probably peak fat Kirill. But no matter, you know, and people, my girlfriends would lie to me, be like, Kirill, you look hot. You know, like how everyone still tells you you look good. And you're like, compliments don't help. When people started calling me fat on Instagram, like, and I got tagged in enough photos, I was like, I guess I got to change something.
Yeah, well, you look great.
I'm pro-bullying. Pro bullying.
Yeah, we don't mind it here either.
Listen, like, you know, there's limits to everything, right? Like, but I got where I am by my mom, you know, beating me with a belt. I think Eddie Griffin said it. He's like, my mom whooped my ass out of the penitentiary. Like, my mom beat me and then sent me out into the world, probably.
And you're good to go. You're in Los Angeles now. You're not in New York anymore?
I am stranded in L.A. because I don't have any gigs, so there was no point staying in New York. Might as well be in L.A. where the merch business is kind of just work, try to stay alive.
Do you have a girlfriend now?
I do.
You've been dating this one for years
it
now.
It seems
serious. Last time we talked. Three. At this point, like, where who? Like, I got lucky to at least have somebody during a pandemic. And then to keep her in L.A., I had to, like, we got a puppy. Forget it. So now I'm just, that's it.
And that makes like how I know you seem to have some image issues with regard to your manliness. And I wonder if the puppy has made that worse or not, because I feel like a bitch around my dogs. I can't stand to hear them whining and stuff. It's like my child. And when I feel I'm very embarrassed by that, to be honest, but
That I like care about something more.
Yeah. It sucks.
I'm like, oh my God. If so, and I was like, I made fun of those dog owners my entire life. Mm-hmm. And then I look at this thing and I'm like, if somebody hurts you, I will literally murder them.
But I don't know if it's about the dogs necessarily. It's just, I think that maybe humans need that. Like there's something about the frailty of life.
It's the dog. It's the dog. Trust me. It's definitely not like my cell phone's treated like shit, and this thing costs just as much as the dog. The thing about do you know this thing that I learned on Reddit is cool evolutionary fact, if people believe in evolution, is that dogs evolved to mimic baby eyebrows. Yep. So that we would associate them with babies as puppies, and we would fall in love with them as we do with babies.
And
that's fucking wild.
It's the same thing with children, though. There used to be a thing where an early man, if you want to call it man, Homo sapiens, parents, particularly fathers, would kill their child if it looked threatening to them. You know what I mean? Like if it had a furrowed brow or something like that, or it was deformed or fucked up, it'd just murder it. So babies over time, it's through selective breeding.
Do you think we're done evolving?
No, I mean, that's not how evolution works, is it?
I think we are.
Maybe.
And here's my only argument, and it's backed up by no science. It's basically, it's basically this, right? Throughout history, the weak have always died. And this is the first time in history where through medicine and science, we save the weak or you know, usually nature would prevent the procreation of quote unquote evolutionary cul-de-sacs, right? Essentially. So like, and then the strong would move on and move on. Like if I was born with one leg, in theory, evolution states I shouldn't be allowed to reproduce. Right?
Theoretically, yeah. I mean, over
am I correct?
Over a long enough time period, that is correct. But it's usually it would be something that affects your ability to procreate directly, which is interesting that you bring that up, because that might be a social means of evolution that would prevent you from procreating. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it doesn't make it like you, if you're missing a leg, you still fuck. but if nobody will fuck you, you still can't breed. I wonder if that's part of it.
Yeah, but no, my thing was, if you're born without a leg, we shouldn't, for the sake of progression through completely just through science, not so I don't think, you know, that person should not be allowed to procreate. Because whatever happened to give them that one leg shouldn't be continued into the human genome. I don't know.
What I'm saying? What you're describing is
eugenics essentially, right? Yeah. I'm aware that I'm sure Hitler spoke greatly of this. I just think from a science standpoint, I understand that. Trust me, I'd be the first one killed. No one would let me reproduce.
I'm well aware. I wonder though if it, once culture and society is brought into that argument, or not argument, but into that process, then what we value as a culture becomes a tool.
Just physical.
A tool. Well, no, it becomes a tool of evolution because we're the ones that are deciding who breeds or if we breed, right?
Yeah.
So right now, people with higher IQs with more advanced degrees are either not having children or they're having less and way later in life, right?
Agreed.
So I think
ignorance
fact.
Is bliss, right? Isn't that ignorance is bliss, right?
Yeah.
When you are a little more intelligent, you kind of carry the weight of the world on your shoulders a little more, and you wake up every day kind of being like, why would I bring someone into this world? Or why would I do, you know, you question things more.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why I think we really got to start fucking. Everybody should be forced to get an IQ test. If you're above like a 110 or so, you should just be pounding 24 hours a day for the next 10 years or so. Let's create a bunch of fucking smart, create a bunch of smart children, right?
Right.
Everybody from all the Rhodes Scholars, like, sorry, you all got to fuck.
Like, Matt where's Davis. Albert Einstein's like offspring?
Well, he didn't have any kids because he had.
God damn it! How do you know all this? How do you?
He had. That's not true. He did have two kids, didn't he? He was married to his first wife in Switzerland, and he actually gave her the money from his Nobel Prize. I think it was $1.3 million to get it.
How the fuck do you know this?
I don't remember. Autism. To get a divorce, he gave her the money and said, "Don't ever talk to me again." Then he married his first cousin.
Ah, you don't say.
But they didn't have a sexual relationship. He had three kids? Yeah, he had three children, but I don't know if any of them existed anymore after that because he basically just gave this woman money and abandoned his family. He was doing science.
He had to create.
Have time for family.
No, dude, that's what happens when you
But
science.
He did have his old cousin to do his dishes, laundry, and suck his dick, I guess. I don't know what their relationship really was, but it seemed like it probably was that.
Did he have siblings? Is there a dumb Einstein?
Yeah, there was Ted. Fucking yeah. Ted Einstein was a real piece of shit.
Dave Einstein?
Flunked out after eighth grade. He had one?
Just a moron.
Yeah, just a complete fucking idiot. Born with one leg.
He had a sister.
And
Maja.
Oh, he had a sister named Maja?
He had six siblings.
Oh, six?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Raphael Jett, J-E-T-T-E, I guess.
Sure.
Heinrich, and then several others. That's weird.
What the fuck do those dum-dums do?
Not enough to get remembered, apparently.
I'd just like to try to live up to that last name. And they were like, hey, man, I don't understand why you can't pass a fucking driver's test at the DMV.
Your name's Dave Einstein and you're a fucking idiot?
Ted.
Do you think the other five Einsteins are the reason we use Einstein sarcastically? You're like, way to go, Einstein.
It has to be.
The other five siblings ruined Albert's fucking reputation.
That's what I think.
Well, at least it's not Hitler. They canceled that name. You're not going to run into like a Steve Hitler.
No.
Ever. Is there anyone Earth named Hitler right now at all?
There has to be. There has to be like some weird country somewhere.
Yeah,
where Bill Burr talks about it, right? He's like, there's no one naming their kids Adolf. It's literally like the Ford Bronco, right? Like, it's just like one bad incident and they're like,
It's coming back.
The Bronco back, so Bronco maybe back. Hitler's going to? Maybe Hitler at some point is going to resurface.
You know, COVID fucked us again on that Bronco. So Dan wants obviously the white one. I used to own that exact white Bronco in LA.
Are you guys like car guys?
No. Don't care about cars at all.
Just OJ. Yeah. So we've got a signed OJ Simpson jersey
right behind us here. So.
We just love OJ and his work.
Seriously, there's a signed OJ Simpson jersey right here.
Big, yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah, it's hanging up on the wall right there.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so with the white Bronco, so this is dead serious. I own that exact model, and that was my driver in L.A., And every valet, you know, you've been in LA long enough now. Every valet I showed up to with that white Bronco was always like, oh, no way. And everybody would want to come and take pictures with it. I cut out a head of OJ with his hands up, and I taped it to the back, like on the passenger side. Mm. So that way he was always looking out the window whenever I pulled up to a valet. Because let's face it, everything in LA is a valet. Everybody would take pictures with it. And then it got stolen when we shot Range 15. Mm.
I'm going to do the same thing, but I'm going to put Cuba Gooding Jr. back there instead.
Ah, because you want the actor version of of OJ. I like
that. I just want to, you know, pay it forward.
Yeah, you should. You should. Now, the best.
Cuba is never not in trouble, by the way.
No,
that's well, he gets handsy.
He finds a reason to get in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to see him at parties, and you'd be like, he's a. For an Oscar-winning actor, you're like, we shouldn't be doing the same thing.
Let me ask you this. Right? At yours, did he pull his dick out?
No, I wish he did.
Okay. So
I would have taken a photo.
We were at a – and this was right before camera phones. The one time I saw him out at a fucking rager, like at a bar, he got on top of a pool table, buck naked, dick out, everything.
Big dick?
And was just dancing. Normal size dick, nothing crazy that you were, you know, it's not like the meme that's going around. Like, it's not like that guy.
No, not that fuck that guy.
Yeah, but it's a decent size hog where it's good enough that you're like, all right, shit. But he's jacked as fuck. Like, he was still like, you know, at the time, he was still like Jerry Maguire jacked, where you were just like, oh, Jesus Christ, man.
Steroids?
Yes.
Tough.
Okay. Again, you
blacker steroids should be a thing. Steroids, black guys are all
steroids versus just men's health testosterone replacement therapy. There's a wide gap between those. I mean, you're going to see for most people that are on TRT, you're going to see their test level somewhere in the 800 range, 700 to 800. For people that are on anabolic steroids, you're going to see like 1,000 to 1,200, if not higher in some cases. So it's like night and day. Anyways, blacker steroids.
Blacker steroids is always a great thing.
Blacker steroids.
Gay or from Atlanta is another great game. Are you gay or are you just from Atlanta?
I don't even know that one. Why? There's just like, there's so many gay guys in Atlanta.
No, you ever hear that
voice like from the Chrisleys? Oh, God, that's great. I'm not gay. I'm just from Atlanta. They all have that real like, oh, good. It's nice to meet y'all.
If you took the French cadence to how they speak and applied it to Southern English, that's what it is, right?
Wow.
And all of those things are gay. So it's like that guy's got to be gay.
Yeah,
guy's got to be gay. I'll have
a Libs patty melt plate, hash browns, double covered, scattered. Oh gayer from Atlanta, blacker steroids is one. I always wanted to get like super high with Cuba Gooding Jr. and just have him flip back into radio again. Where he was playing the
RIP, by the way, radio died earlier this year.
He did die. But imagine if you were that fucked up, high as shit, and he started going full radio.
No, wait. What if you were high as shit and it was Tom Hanks as Forrest Gump and he would not break character and you're like, I know it's you, Tom. And he's like,
I know.
He just wanted.
I feel like Tom Hanks would be annoying as fuck.
I think that might put you in, like, if you were on mushrooms and that happened, I think that might fuck your brain up. If Tom Hanks he was Forrest Gump and would not break character, I think that would ruin your life, honestly. I've never had a bad trip. I've done acid and mushrooms probably a combined 1,000 times, give or take. And I've never had a single bad trip. I've had, like, people are irritating me or whatever the fuck, but I've never, like, freaked out and had a bad trip. I think that one would ruin my life.
Oof, that would be tough.
Right, because that's like an interesting Tom Hanks role, because every time I look back and think about it, it doesn't even look like Tom Hanks to me anymore. Like, the Tom Hanks I know now is just like...
Yeah.
It's Tom Hanks.
Yeah, it's just Tom Hanks.
I mean, the Tom Hanks I know and love is from Philadelphia.
Big. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, Tom Hanks Philadelphia, that would be a weird one. I think for me, if I was super high, Billy Bob Thornton as Sling Blade would be the worst for me.
Carl?
Like, I wouldn't want to... If you were to spend a full fucking 8-hour night with him.
But what is he going to say?
Mm.
He's just going to grunt and talk about fucking french fries all night. I don't want to hear that
but
shit.
But it's that look. It's that, I don't want to see that fucking look on
just night. With his chin jutted out?
Yeah.
I would just constantly like push his chin back in. Like, hey, well, let's get that posture fixed there, buddy.
Yeah.
Tuck that thing in. You're going to trip on something.
That one would freak me out. Or McConaughey in Dallas Buyers Club.
I love McConaughey, Jesus. I haven't brought this up in almost a year now. But I love the idea of Matthew McConaughey playing Jesus.
Dan's dream is for Matthew McConaughey to play
because
Jesus.
Because he doesn't ever...
As Matthew McConaughey. He doesn't do any acting.
He doesn't ever any acting. His voice is always Matthew McConaughey's voice.
It is.
Always.
Yeah.
No matter what role he's playing. So I want to hear McConaughey talk... Like, say... Just go through the Bible and pull out all the red parts
right? And read all that.
Just write that film.
Yeah,
you should write
McConaughey.
It.
It's not. I mean, you don't even have to write it.
He was in Wolf of Wall Street, you know, playing a hardcore New York fucking stock guy, and he still was McConaughey. He was like, hey,
you gotta get the
Lincoln Lawyer
on,
was fucking dope.
Yeah,
love that movie.
Still McConaughey though, no accent whatsoever. Yeah. Never even attempted an accent in any of these things.
The only one he did do an accent was for True Detective, and he just made it more country,
more McConaughey.
But he didn't go further. He didn't do anything differently. He just made more McConaughey. He just added a little dash of McConaughey onto that McConaughey.
If you could,
you know what I found out this week, by the way, guys. Did you know Denzel had a son?
Yes. Yeah, he plays football.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
No, check this shit out.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there on the internet. They're like, yo, nobody knows that Denzel has a son. He's the new star of the Chris Nolan film Tenet. He's Ricky, that guy from Ballers. The guy with the beard.
Yeah.
Wait,
Ricky
really?
Jarrett or whatever.
Yeah.
That's Denzel Washington's son.
Yeah.
And that's nuts. When I saw that, I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
What's his name?
John David Washington.
Yeah. He's... fuck, man.
And he's a big actor.
He's a really good actor. I didn't know this was
right.
His fucking son.
I had no idea.
He's
Denzel's
got kids,
son.
And he's been married for. And I will say this: it wasn't like a crazy, like out of wedlock. Like he's been married to the same woman for like 40 years.
Well, yeah. What I do know about Denzel Washington is he, without ever alerting the press, goes to VA hospitals and fucking gives people money. Yep. Pays off people's loans and debt and shit like that are veterans and cops and shit like that all the goddamn time.
Yeah.
And then when it comes time to talk about social issues, he still does it. He does both things right.
Yeah.
Which is fucking rare in today's world. Everybody wants to go into their corner and get on their side and get their talking point little list handy so they can fucking check off their bullet points. Here's a guy that has all the fame in the world and doesn't even use it. He just uses his money that he's made off that fame to do the right thing every single day.
Yeah. Good dude.
Seems like
dude,
that should
Man
be
on Fire
easy.
Is probably top 5 best movies ever made.
It is, yeah. I've probably seen that movie 40 or 50 times, to be honest. Because
that's incredible.
That should resonate with veterans, honestly. If you haven't seen that movie, you should see it, because a lot of us felt like we did a lot of fucked up shit and we're on a fool's errand and lost a lot of friends for no reason and faced a lot of psychological and emotional damage from that. And that is a fantasy for a lot of people. To do something big and important and empathetic to buy back some of the shit we lost. You know what I mean?
Right. And close out the final chapter of his life. With that,
yeah.
Right?
Denzel's a fucking
wild
dude.
Dude, people call it an action movie. To me, I always say it's a love story. I'm like, it is literally, they're like, what's your favorite romantic, like your favorite love story movie? I'm like, it's Man on Fire. Like, yeah, there's all the amazing shit that you want to see him do. But at the end, no other movie I've seen build that kind of like hour-long love story between him and Dakota.
Yeah.
So that they can rip it away and you actually are like, fuck yeah, stab that guy in the face. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's how we view OJ Made in America too. That 10-part doc. Same thing. It was a love story, Kirill.
It was a
love story between
Man on Fire,
OJ and himself.
Black Taken.
Yeah, look, if you go through Denzel's list of fucking movies and hits, I mean, it is astonishing.
If you take someone's character as a human being into account, he might be the best actor of all time.
Oh,
because his acting credentials are in line, and I can't think of anybody that's been more helpful without making it about him in the history of acting. Like, who else does that? Everybody else.
Paul Newman was really good at it, and Gary Sinise, but there's very few.
Gary Sinise is another one, yeah.
Yeah.
Paul Newman as well. A lot of people don't know that Newman's salad dressing, that's his, 100%.
Best lemonade.
Yeah, yeah.
And it all goes to charity.
100% of the pros, 100% of the profit for the entire existence of that company has gone to charity. 100%.
Yeah.
They pay their people salaries, obviously, but they don't, like, Paul Newman and his estate never made a dime off any of that shit.
No, it's great. Training Day, by the way, not to go back to Denzel.
Training Day is fucking great. And I was trying to find this for you guys. There's a movie that Denzel, I guess, did. I saw it a long, long time ago. I'm trying to find
Hurricane.
It's like one of his earliest. It's one of there's. It's so
Glory.
Bad. It's like where he's like an Irish cop.
Denzel Washington was an Irish cop.
I don't want to be wrong. Hold on. I don't want to be wrong.
You smoking a joint right now saying Denzel Washington as an Irish
played
cop.
Played an Irish cop.
Is the greatest
I'm telling
flex the ball
trying to, I'm trying to scroll through his IMDb.
He was in full white face the whole time.
Wait. I might be a little racist there because the name of the movie might be The Mighty Quinn, and I think I assumed Quinn was going to be like an Irish last name. I'm trying to see what this is.
You were racist in the wrong direction.
Did he play Seamus O'Malley in that movie?
I'm trying to find it.
Xavier Quinn is the guy's name.
Oh, I think that was a true story.
I'm a fucking moron.
You know what my favorite Denzel movie was? Where he was the white Irish cop, dude.
I mean, he was good in Heat, too.
He ate Lucky Charms the entire fucking movie, dude. He was amazing. He would not stop drinking Guinness and just beating his wife. Like, it was amazing.
Wearing wife beaters, yeah.
All right, you know. Yeah. It's good weed.
It is good weed. While we're at it, I'll let you light up. We got some sponsors who pay for this whole shit wagon to be on the air. First and foremost, ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. Best in the biz, that mattress. I love those goddamn things.
Yeah.
And everything is 25% off in the store. Mattresses, sheets, pillows, sheets, adjustable bases, you name it, it's 25% off. And as always, they got a 36-month pay-as-you-go program, no interest. So if you got that Trump money, you can go ahead and throw a few ducats that way. And look, it's like $20 a month if you're going to get a new mattress set and everything. And the pillows are just as good as the goddamn mattress. Right now, they're also giving away 2 free pillows when you get a mattress. I don't know who's beating these guys. I don't know how they're making money with 25% off, to be honest with you. But
I'm sure they're figuring it out. Maybe it's a front.
For a cocaine operation?
No.
Oh, for what?
Something. I mean, if that's it and they didn't tell me, I'm going to be fucking pissed.
Yeah.
Because I've been paying for cocaine this whole time. Don't imagine send me a bed. Send me some drugs, bitch.
Imagine if you got a bed, you cut open the mattress, it's just full of kilos of cocaine.
Oh, man.
Dude, that would be so good.
I'm hard.
Did we talk about this, how I found out how people smuggle drugs into Canada? We talked about this last time?
No.
I found out the craziest way to smuggle drugs into Canada.
How's that?
Into or out of? From there to here or here to there?
From here, doesn't matter. You can go either way, but the best system apparently is out of America into Canada.
Okay.
Best way I've heard. What you do is you pull up on the closest mall next to the border, and you look for Canadian plates. And then you strap all your drugs underneath that person's car, and you follow them across the border. If they get clipped, it's on them. If they make it through, you just kind of drive until they pull over, and then you steal your drugs back from underneath their car.
All right. There's a lot that can go wrong there, but I admire that effort. And
no,
that
I'm into that.
Right, but like, I'm into like, you know, if you're, you know, I'm sure you're not moving heavy weight, but.
Right. Hey. No, of course not. And if you're on drugs like we are, do them on a ghost bed.
Yes. Oh, I forgot how that was a ghost bed.
You know what? We
do too all the time. Don't worry about it.
Here's what would be awesome, dude, is if, because they do giveaways and shit all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Right now they're doing a giveaway. Whoever writes the best review of our show on iTunes, on Drinking Bros, you can get a free mattress. But it would be awesome if they did a giveaway where one of the mattresses you buy, it's just filled with cocaine.
Every fifth mattress, it's like the Willy Wonka golden ticket thing. Instead of golden tickets, your bed's stuffed full of fucking cocaine.
Oh, that would be the best. Think about it, Ghostbed. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. Next up, we got Killcliff, CBD.com. Man, I don't know if you were in the CBD game, Kirill. These guys have mastered it, Killcliff. Mastered it.
I was addicted to CBD for a while, like those just like candies and everything.
Yeah.
And then I needed to move on to like harder stuff.
Shit. Yeah.
Well, actually, you know, having THC in your system makes CBD work better.
It does. Yeah.
Really?
So, yeah.
Yep.
So if you're doing this,
like, that's what somebody explained to me when I first started taking it. They were like, you know, someone who, you know, occasionally uses THC, for example, it's going to metabolize in their body more quickly and you'll see the effects more quickly. And I'm like, what about somebody that uses THC all day, every day? How's that going to affect me? And then all the heads in the room turned and looked at me. I'm like, look, I'm just asking a question.
Yeah, I'm just speculating.
This is for the audience.
I gotta
folks.
Ask all the questions.
Yeah.
Right?
You have to. With Killcliff, here it is. It comes in this fucking fancy can.
Is it like? Is it like?
25 milligrams. Yeah,
it's a carbonated RTD drink in a can.
Ready to drink. It is.
You think that's going
to
be? Is that going to be the next thing?
It's, like, it's when, the new world. This shit is taking off.
And it's like, what I mix my vodka like, with all the time.
We mix
that's
drinks.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yes.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, obviously, all bars and nightclubs are closed, and I'm never going to work again. But like, if you go out at some point eventually, is that going to be the new like kind of like I can get drunk and feel a little loosey-goosey from
yes.
it.
Yeah. So Dan and I, by the way, promo code Drinking Bros, 20% off and free shipping at KillcliffCBD.com. Best in the biz. We went to a tailgate at the Army-Navy game, mm-hmm. and the bar was serving them. So it was vodka and CBD, vodka and Killcliff CBD. Everybody was drinking those, and I was like, oh, shit, I get it.
Well, it's like where you can't smoke, right? I like to smoke and drink. Like when I'm out at a party, I'd love to have a joint in my hand and I'll be taking shots. Mm. And then if I can't smoke, then that seems like the solution.
Yeah, it is.
I agree.
They're some of the finest. And then last but not least, D'Anthony, Thompson Cigars.
Dude. Oh, yeah. I got a hard-on for these guys.
You do. And everybody was like, God damn it, man.
Why?
Best in the biz.
They are, yeah. It's if you're a cigar fan, then it's a place to go, thompsoncigar.com. Actually, I get their magazine every month, too. I don't know why.
Yeah. You're a big cigar guy.
I am. I've got a couple hundred of them, yeah. And they sent me...
Is it like scratch and sniff?
I wish it was.
Like, I would want a cigar. Like, because they all smell different, right? Do they have all different...
It's all different. Like the reason I like cigars is for the same reason I like scotch, whiskey, and steak, because you can make it taste like a lot of different things, and coffee as well. Like it's a very deep, it's a rich palate, but it's very diverse, and that's what I like about it, because I like enjoying my food. I'm not trying to eat a bunch of fucking bullshit. Right?
Exactly. They got over 12,000 different cigars.
You can't. There's no cigar that's legal in this country that you're not going to be able to find on this website. I promise you that.
Agreed. They've been over 100 years in the business at this point. Yeah. Like
they just sent me.
I feel like we're selling Ferraris. Like it's that nice. Where you're just like, yeah. I'm sure everybody knows.
Yeah. But, yeah.
They never do promo codes. Dan was a massive, massive fan, and they reached out and they said, "All right, cool."
Yeah.
For a limited time. Thompson is offering 15% off of orders of $75 or 20% off of orders over $99 as a Father's Day special.
Yeah.
To take advantage of these incredible savings, you simply have to go to thompsoncigar.com. Use the promo code Drinking Bros when you're ready to check out. That website is Thompson, Thompson, cigar.com, and use the promo code Drinking Bros. And you're good to go. That's everything on the planet. Mm-hmm. How is business these days? Have you heard when you're going back to work and doing clubs and all that shit? Because after the riots and the protests, like, no one's wearing masks and nobody gives a fuck about COVID anymore.
Right. To be honest, I don't even know if I want to go out anymore. Right. Like,
really?
Maybe this was I'll still go out. Like, if you guys come to town, we'll go
I don't think you're saying because of COVID. You're just like, I'm done with people, right? Like,
yeah, I think no. This isn't out of it is a health thing, but it's more of a health thing for my body from just the abuse I take on the road. Oh, yeah. Not from guys, I've been sharing joints and alcohol with people for 10 years. Like, my body, at least for me, is like a pile of trash, right? Like, there's nothing that, knock on wood, hopefully can hurt me. Obviously, I could spread it to other people, but realistically, like, I don't know if I just want to do parties anymore for a financial purpose.
Right.
Yeah. I kind of found my groove with the merch a little bit more. It's kind of taken, you know, my whole life people have always been, what are you going to do after party? What are you going to do after party? Yeah. What's the next step? And party forever. And I always was like, well, Diplo's like 40 something, or like Tiesto's that way, or these people, like, look at, like, everyone, you can still be old and still pursue your craft, but at the same time, like, yeah, I don't want to be like 50 hanging out with, you know, 19-year-old girls in like some shithole town.
Yeah, you don't want to be Johnny Depp. You don't want to be in your mid-50s and still be wearing leather, like 16 leather bracelets
and a lot of scarves.
Right.
I was never cool, so there's not even any cool to hold on to or try to pretend to be. So to me, I think, like, I'll still go do, like, once a month, let's throw a party, or let's all go drinking, or I'll meet you in Vegas, and I'm still going to be a degenerate. But I just think my time is better served running the brand, the merch.
Yeah.
And I can still kind of, dude, Reddit opened up my eyes to so much more shit, because after getting kicked off Instagram the last time, I was like, you know what? Reddit allows everything. Let me go try to push my Reddit. And the beauty of it is the merch creates the same content that the parties did, because all these girls bought the butt plug, and now my entire Reddit page is just girls uploading shit I would never have been able to get them to do at a party anyways.
Right.
So, like, it's almost like this community over there of people who are, like, about my party life, but they uploaded themselves.
Yeah, that makes sense. Speaking of those butt plugs, do you test out these products with your girlfriend?
No.
Okay. I wondered how that worked.
I know, but we just kind of find a butt plug and go, yes, do that one. And we put it. And then we didn't realize that we picked one a little too big. Like, we had porn stars hitting us like, yo, this is a little, like, but that's what made it great, too, on Reddit, because you just see all these girls just trying to pop it in.
So this wasn't like a wine tasting where you and your girlfriend sat around and
just like,
sniffed it and then looked at it.
And put it in, yeah.
Held it up to the light and then pushed it in. And
No. It was strictly just like, that one looks good. Let's do it.
Yeah, because we got some butt plugs sent to us, right? But they came in different sizes. And you could immediately see from looking at it, I was like, oh, that's way too big. Mm. I don't know who was going
to. The first one.
It's like an apple.
Exactly. I was like, nobody's stuffing that in their asshole. Well, but the smaller one, I was like, all right, play ball. Like, that'll work for most people.
Yeah, I've never stuck a butt plug in my butt, so I don't even know how I would judge. But like, here's what it should tell you everything about it. Is a butt plug is shaped like a spade, right, essentially?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on a deck of cards. Yeah,
on a deck of cards.
A three-dimensional spade, yeah.
And you assume that your butthole is pretty clenchedly, like, it's pretty clenched. And that little fucking, that little base thing, that wine glass base thing,
yep.
That's what really your butthole should be at. And then you see that, like, that bell part, and you're like, how the fuck is my asshole going to stretch around that?
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. Just, like, the fact that it needs that kind of rampage to get into your ass should tell you everything.
Yeah, look.
Tell you everything.
I wish you were drawing this all on a whiteboard right now, to be honest, because I feel like the public needs to know.
I could get
you
a whiteboard.
Yeah, let's do it.
I actually have a whiteboard right here.
Merch-wise, though, you put out some of the craziest shit that I've seen. Was there anything that you rejected and you were like, all right, this might be pushing it a little too far?
So I try to make – the merch kind of thing started as like a joke, and then we were like, oh, look, I grew up – I don't know if you ever heard of a company called T-Shirt Hell.
Yeah.
I used to love T-Shirt Hell. It was a great fucking site. But you knew that the person behind it was a good person.
Mm.
Because there was one holiday season, he said he's shutting down T-Shirt Hell. Like, I'm not making enough money. And he had like a huge sale, and he made like $1 million. And he said, I was fucking with y'all. I'm taking that money as Christmas bonuses for my staff. We ain't going anywhere. And I was like, that's so cool that you could see that someone could put out really, really horrifically terrible, tasteless, funny shit, but in the real world, be like a human.
Yeah.
And so like, that's kind of the blueprint for what this became, was like, dude, we can make jokes about anything and everything. Everything's going to piss people off. We get the emails daily. It's almost part of the brand. It's literally like South Park now, right? Like, it's like, we have to step on every toe or else we are choosing a side.
Right.
Like the one we've been playing with, and I'm like, we're probably going to drop it, is I Survived the Holocaust.
Oh, it's rare that I see Dan go head down directly into mic.
Yeah, so we have a thing in the office where like somebody throws out an idea, and if someone goes, oof, it usually means, all right, let's marinate it on a little bit longer. Because like, every project we try to do is I always try to be like, all right, if I can defend it, we're doing it. And it's like, you know, dude, we're dropping ping pong paddles that say ping and pong on it with two Asian guys' faces. Like,
when do those come out?
Those are coming in like a few weeks. But it's just like, we're just going to do dumb, silly shit. It's like, it's childish. It's moronic.
Well,
but at the end of the day, we take a lot of the stuff in the real world and, you know, you see us like try to help any fans who have like problems, or you know, we're doing boob job giveaways. Like, I don't know, just want to have fun. That's what I mean about like what a podcast is. The brand is the same way. We have no red tape. Like 3 weeks ago when people were going to the beach in Cali somewhere, we're like, yo, let's just piss everyone off. And we hired a banner. It was a 100-foot banner we flew over the beaches that said, we're all doomed. And it said assholesliveforever.com. Like, you can't do that if you have a company with like execs and like, who's like, oh, we got to run this out. Like, who's this going to piss off? Who's going to upset? Well, that's, it's like, just do it.
Well,
let's try it.
I've got, you know, that that doormat you guys make that says assholes live here. I have that in front of my door in my apartment complex, right?
Yeah.
So I was walking down the hallway the other day, and I saw this lady looking at it, and just like with her fucking old Karen face on. And I decided that I was going to have some fun that day. So as she kept walking and walked by me, I'm like, can you believe this person? Like, who would put something out like that? And she goes, oh, I don't know. And I just walked over and put my key in the door. I'm like, fucking asshole. And unlocked the door and walked into my place and closed it behind me. And I don't know what happened to her, but I think she may have died.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so good.
It's little moments like that that, you know, keep me going, to be honest.
It does.
Right, like, I don't think I let enough, like, there's so little that can ruin my day from, like, that kind of shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing that really bothers me on a daily basis where I'm like, fuck you. Unless I get cut off. Like, that's,
do you know how bored you have to be that a doormat bothers you? Like, oh, yeah, you're just looking for somewhere to do something that day so you can pat yourself on the back and be like, I helped, by being angry at a doormat.
Posting black squares on the internet.
Exactly. Like Los Angeles right now. Like, I'm sure you've run into some of the worst humans on earth. New York's a different story.
No, I have not yet.
Really?
Because I've only been here since the pandemic. I literally go to the warehouse and home. There's nothing to do. I was so excited. I was so excited. That's why I don't even feel like I'm really in a pandemic, because if I was in New York, I would know the difference. When I'm here, and I've only been here for the pandemic, I don't know what LA really is like before the pandemic. So this is, to me, this feels like normal. Like, in New York, I'd have more perspective on, like, oh my God, this is like out of control. To me, I'm like, I'm just going to work it back. Like, yeah, I guess there's no traffic, so that's a plus.
Wait till it opens back up. You'll have so much fucking content being there. It'll alter your mind. Like, the shit you're going to be able to come up with there.
Well, you're going to see stuff like that. I don't know if you saw that video of that woman who had the Latino dude working on a thing. He was like putting plywood over windows.
Yeah.
And she took the opportunity to have her husband or whatever take a selfie of her. And she goes, thank you, and handed him the drill back, and the fucking plywood comes down. Like, what the fuck, dude?
Like, I don't even understand how that crosses, like, somebody's mind. Mm-mm. Right? Like, that level of, like, just like, what does that do for you? Like,
I do understand, though, because we've been conditioned to post thoughts and prayers as a means of activism.
That's... Hold on. Don't move. Literally, don't move.
This is what happens when we have fucking stoned people on the show.
That's great, isn't it?
At least I can keep the conversation going and don't disappear halfway through the show. You guys can't blame me for anything.
I guarantee you he's bringing back a thoughts and prayers t-shirt.
Or a whiteboard.
To draw that butt plug.
It's one of the two, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Or maybe both. I don't want to exclude anybody.
I'm surprised, by the way, I'm surprised he's never used a butt plug.
All right.
All right, what do we got?
What do we got here?
It's a trash can.
No fucking
for
to, way.
For your thoughts and prayers.
For you, this will accomplish just as much as talking to God. Literally, we just dropped it this week.
You really?
Guess I'm going to need
yeah.
to
get
what's your web? Shout out your website.
Guys, go to it's assholesliveforever.com, but because at Facebook doesn't like curse words, we also use lindafeingold.com. So either of those URLs will work.
Did you just try to pick? Did you try to pick the most Jewish sounding old lady name that you could possibly find?
Yes.
Yeah, I figured.
The idea, what, dude? This is the best part. We've been with, like, our credit card processor now for 3 years, and like a year and a half into it, we're on the phone with Chase, and we do so much shit through them. Like, you would think they know who they're in bed with. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, so Linda's fine gold. Like, so you guys, jewelry, huh? All these sales are from jewelry, huh? I'm like, you guys.
Did you even go to the website?
Dude, they don't know anything. They fucked up the first year. My fucking cell phone number showed up on everyone's billing statement.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
I literally would get phone calls after, like, a big sale. You know, people are like, where's my order? Like, it's like, hold on. Like, we've got a lot of orders. It's all being shipped out. But, you know, Amazon ruined all that. So, like, everyone wants everything shipped same day.
Yep. Yeah.
They want it in their hands the next day. And literally my phone number was on every single credit card statement for a good year.
No way. I'm surprised you answered.
Yeah, sometimes it was fun to talk to them.
Dan's troll was
I answer telemarketers all the time. And I used to, back in the day when this was still kind of a thing, I used to invite the Mormon and Jehovah's Witnesses people in all the time. I'd be like, all right, tell me your story and I'll tell you mine.
Yeah.
Dude, my grandma, when we moved to America, would hang out with Jehovah's Witnesses so she could learn English.
It's not a bad way to do it because they won't shut the fuck up.
They would come door to door. Yeah, and they would come in. They'd come in and she'd sit down with them. I'd be like, what are you hanging out with them for? She's like, I don't believe anything they say, but I'm just trying to learn English. So she just talked to them all day.
That's a very utilitarian Russian mindset.
Yeah, right. She's like, just that.
Yeah, I like that. What were you saying?
You think you'll ever get married?
Yes. That's a yes. If it's like, not an like immediate no, then it's a yes.
Yeah. Does Kirill grow up and become a dad?
I think I'll become a dad. Marriage to me is more. Yeah. I'm not a big. Like, I want a party.
Yeah.
But I don't want like a dude. I think giving somebody an expensive ring and throwing it and an overpriced wedding is a giant waste of money.
Yeah.
Especially in these times, right? Like, if I have to prove my commitment to you by spending 25 grand, then you're a moron because we could take that 25 grand and like do something real with it.
Yeah, we could buy $25,000 worth of cocaine.
Yeah, or a house.
Or one ghost bed mattress. You don't know.
Yeah, no, ghost beds, they're decent price.
Yeah, they're affordable. I think you get the cocaine's for free, though.
The cocaine's for free.
Yeah, you don't have to pay for that.
Yeah, but I did it. So that's what I did. Me and my wife got married on a beach with just our family, and it was like, I don't know, 10 people total. Yeah. In and out, had a dinner, and enjoyed a hotel suite
people,
and all that other shit.
Did people complain that they didn't get invited?
Got back to work. No, because I think secretly, people really don't want to go to weddings. They don't. Like, every time I've gotten a wedding invitation from one of my friends in the mail, I'm like, oh, fuck. Now I got to get babysitters. I got to block off a week in whatever shitty small town they're in. And then I got to fly in, hotel rooms, suits, all that other shit, and it's such an inconvenience.
It is, but I do it despite all that, not because I care, but because I'm the guy when I show up that has to be explained to everyone. Like, he's gonna say and do some stuff that's gonna, like, you're gonna feel
like
a certain
you're
way
the
about
guy
it.
That they worry about most where to seat. Like, yeah. I'm that guy. They're like, all right, Kirill's gonna be at our wedding. Yep. Who can we place him around that he won't say something dumb and offend?
Yeah, yeah. Basically, is it? Yeah, I don't know if they worry so much about me offending people, because that's just going to happen either way. Yeah. I think they're just trying to mitigate as much as possible, right? Like you're saying. So just put him in a place maybe with your old racist uncle or something like that.
I was going to say, usually you do great around older people.
Yeah, yeah. Because they either can't hear you or they're not offended by the shit I'm saying. No, although you can always find stuff to offend older people.
Oh yeah,
like I always talk about the movie Logan's Run whenever I'm around old people, because you get in that movie, you get killed after 30. It's come on, guys, your chips all red, brother. It's time to get out of here. You're eating up all of our resources.
That's like old people shouldn't be allowed to drive after a certain age.
Oh no,
I can fight with them on that.
Yeah, and you'll win too because they're old and they can't fight.
Right.
And that's why China created COVID, was to get rid of the old people that they didn't want in their country anymore.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. That seems like an elaborate ruse for China, who could just walk around and shoot everybody in the head.
Yeah, yes and no. But I think they wanted to test it out for the rest of the world and just see what was going on. You know?
Maybe. They could just be
incompetent. Like, I'm kind of one foot in, one foot out conspiracy theorist, because I can conceptualize it all being true. But at the same time, then I'm also a little bit of like an optimist, and like, oh, maybe not. Like,
it's my pessimism that keeps me from believing it, because I know that people are too incompetent to pull something off on that larger scale. Most of the time, most conspiracy theories, I'm like, no.
Right.
JFK getting murdered by the CIA, absolutely believe that. 100% believe that. George Bush orchestrating 9/11? No.
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
Yeah.
And it's a matter of means and talent versus, you know, the ability to keep something that large secret, right?
Right.
So, you know, George H.W. Bush, who Evan believes, one of our buddies, Evan Haver, believes is responsible for the death of JFK, could probably have pulled that off with his position as an alleged knock in the agency, for sure. George W. Bush as president and senior American cowboy, I believe, is one of his other titles.
Yeah.
Although he's from Connecticut, so I don't know how that works. But he's like, he's the Larry the Cable Guy president. You realize that, right? They're both from fucking Connecticut originally. And then
Dan Whitney.
Yeah. Dan Whitney, yeah. So, and somehow they're like fucking hillbilly icons now.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
They're huge, man.
There's a part of Connecticut and Jersey and Rhode Island and up there that's just as fucking south as the South.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of white trash up there.
For sure.
Yeah, you go up there and you're like, there's a lot of missing teeth.
What's a conspiracy theory that you're dipping a toe in?
Oh, I'm not. I just think about everything. I'm like, oh, what? This could be engineered. This couldn't be engineered. There's so many things. And Reddit is so great because everyone is in their own echo chambers. So you just kind of dip into one group and you're like, oh, what are these people saying? You're like, well, that makes sense. And you go here, you're like, well, that kind of makes sense. But I guess, you know, it's all that shit makes sense when you're just taking their facts at face value without.
But there wasn't one you got behind where you're like, all right, I'll really entertain this. Go. Because everybody we have on this show usually has one where they're like, well, and they'll surprise you with it. Like towards the end of the show, they'll be like, well, you know, we believe in this. And you're like, oh, shit. All right. Cool, man. I didn't think that you would.
I'm more on the side of I can't believe people believe like the earth is flat.
Yeah.
That one's rough to me because it doesn't matter. Right. That's the thing. Like believing the earth is flat or round doesn't affect you.
Well,
like,
unless you're a sailor.
In no way. Unless you're an astronaut. What'd you say?
If you're a sailor and you're heading east or west, you might want to watch out.
Yes, it'll affect you then.
Right, right. But like most of the general population has no reason. The earth could be a fucking rhombus. It doesn't matter. Like why? That's those kind of things. I'm like, if that's what you believe, like you're just wasting energy on something that doesn't even like, okay, cool, fine. If they come out with tomorrow, like, you're right, the earth is flat. Like, what are you going to be like? Yes, I want, like, what? No, you didn't expose anything.
Well, we live in a three-dimensional universe, and the focal point of any three-dimensional object is its exact center, which is a round object, right? That's how that works, by the way. Just in case anybody was wondering how physics works.
Yeah,
that's how it works. There's no such thing. Although it would be fucking dope as fuck if there was a square planet. If you got to the edge and then you had to turn and go a different way, that'd be fucking amazing, man. Yeah. Can you imagine just being high and doing that over and over?
Just going on the sides of the square. That'd be great. Yeah, but that Elon Musk launch kind of, you know, squashed all the flat earthers the other day. That was trending all day on Twitter Saturday.
No, he's a government agent,
but the problem is conspiracy theorists can essentially write off anything, right? Yeah. Like they could be like, that footage is doctored, oh, deep fake. And you're like, that the energy it takes to believe in that kind of stuff is like, that's why I don't believe in religion. Like, just too much energy wasted on something that you're like, it doesn't matter.
What if Elon Musk on his next launch just takes up 15 of the top flat earthers and then flies them all the way around the planet?
Be great. And you did a documentary on that of how how shocked
they imagine,
were.
Can you imagine and that?
And then the next day, all the flat earthers would be like, deep state. Yep. They're paid off. Like, there's no winning. You can't win. Even somebody who's like that, there's their icon. They'll be like, oh, he got bought out. He's a shill now. And you're like, unless you walk every single human to the conclusion, it's like, it's retarded.
People are pretty dumb. Mine is Kim Jong-un. He's been dead for 2 months now.
I haven't seen or heard
about him. He's fucking dead. I'm telling you.
I haven't seen or heard much from Joe Biden except for him trying to profiteer off the riots right now on Facebook ads.
You know what's weird though? I haven't seen Joe Biden speak in a while. That one's strange.
Look, I'm not a big political guy because I think because I'm white. Let's be honest. Like I'm a white male. Like I always said. Like there's very few things that have ever affected me.
Right.
It's just my life, I guess. So, like, politics-wise, I'm not really that knowledgeable. But marketing-wise, I'm like, bro, if you're going to try to beat Trump, like, you got to bang a little bit louder than, like, or you got to be present, right? Like, if you're just from a strategy standpoint.
He should be on TV every single day.
Yes.
Right. Like, from a strategic standpoint, like, you will not beat Trump in marketing. Like, because there's just that machine is so well-oiled in that world. Like, it's insane.
Well, he's got the perfect confluence of fire-and-forget content and not giving a fuck when people are offended. If you can do both of those things, a large enough audience will...
Yeah, and he's a quipper, right? He talks in taglines. So it's very, like, advertiser-friendly. It's just more consumable when you, like,
Like he comes up with nicknames. Like he does things that definitely market him. And that's why you're like, dude, none of these candidates who run against them, they can't compete with that because they're of a different school.
Well, I'll tell you
of
who
marketing.
Yeah, the guy that started all that, by the way, for conservative politics is a dude named Frank Luntz. He's the guy that came up with death tax to replace the phrase estate tax. He came up with pro-life, that phrase, all sorts of stuff over the years. Like, he's a Republican media strategist, and he just thinks of creative ways to say fucked up shit, essentially.
Right. It's kind of like, if you ever listen to Carlin talk about how, like, our language has gotten softer.
Oh, yeah.
He does a great routine.
War Memorial Stadium.
PTSD.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like, that's why I think I like doing the merch, because it's like a little bit of that, right? You get to be kind of witty, you get to make statements, and you know, it's like when you see like a fun protest sign, like, ah, I gotta go chuckle out of that. That's essentially this fucking dumb merch.
Yeah,
how we do it. There we go.
Here's how we do it over here. We get to the drinking bro of the week is what we end pretty much every show with. I can't remember a time we haven't done one, to be honest with you.
So maybe we should just say drinking bro of the day.
Drinking bro of the day every day. Yeah, because we've been going every day since the pandemic because everybody's out of content. A big portion of our audience is military and first responders. So those guys are still working, obviously. So we've been going every single day. We're going 6 days a week, 6 out of 7.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's crazy. This one was actually...
Are you guys just doing a lot of Zoom, or are you guys getting guests, or like the whole fucking pandemic is not conducive to like...
We've had both. We've had both.
Yeah, yeah. We've had both. We've had some people who just didn't give a fuck and they're like, hey, I'll come in. And then others who are like, you know, I believe.
See, you guys have like a very, very loyal fan base. So this kind of remote thing is good because they're already used to you. Like, I just restarted my podcast and I've only been trying to do in-person people because I need that dynamic in person, because I don't think I could start the podcast off of virtual guests. It would just really, I was like, I feel like it would weaken the podcast. Connection in the room is important.
It is. It is, actually. Yep. This drinking bro of the day today was submitted by RJ Birch. This is the guy, the security contractor who... it was disarming a Seattle rioter who had stolen a police officer's AR-15 from a destroyed squad car on Saturday.
Yeah, we're going to have him on the show soon.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny, man. Coffee or Die just did an article on him, actually.
Yeah.
That video has gone viral. He served 4 years in the U.S. Marine Corps Infantry in the 1st Battalion, 3rd Marines Alpha Company. And after separating from service, he entered into his current career of military contracting, which has included working as a firearms instructor in security, along with starting a community group on Instagram called Firewatch Official. I don't see his name in here.
Hang on, I'll tell you.
Is it because he's still in? Like, I wonder how that
works. No, he's not in the military anymore. Hang on, I'll tell you his name.
And you guys are getting him on the show?
Yeah, he's going to be on the show in a couple of days, actually.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Did you hear about that guy whose bar, the firefighter in Minneapolis, whose bar got destroyed and they robbed his safe during like the rioting? Mm-hmm. And he was like, the local firefighter, his business is destroyed. And I guess they did a GoFundMe and they raised $1 million.
No shit.
Yeah. It's like the number 3-1 on GoFundMe right now. It's really cool.
That's fucking awesome, man.
Yeah. Like, that's my thing. Like, I was trying to find ways to donate or do shit. And it's like, dude, everywhere you turn, so much money's being dumped around. It's like you're trying to find ways to make some sort of positive impact.
Yeah. There is a lot of positive stories, too, that have been going on during this as well, where it's like white and black.
It's just hard. You're just hard to see the positivity, you know, like this is what we do as a people, right? Like we kind of focus on negativity when there's a car accident. Like we want to rubberneck. Like no one cares. No one goes on the news and goes, every plane landed safely today. No, they only tell us about the plane crashes. Right. So it's kind of like we are a very negatively focused society.
Yeah.
I mean, negative press is the only thing that really drives my business. Right. Like the outrage. Right. When someone's like, Kirill makes good shirts, no one cares. Someone goes, Kirill makes offensive shirts. And then they're like, oh, what's that over there?
Yeah,
I can't find his fucking name.
No, it's not in this. It's not in this article.
I have his number, but we probably shouldn't give his home phone number out, right?
Well, there's a reason why he's not in here, but I wonder if because he's doing some fucking cool shit.
Maybe, yeah. But we'll get into it on the show when he comes by. What happened? But essentially, it was white teenagers, probably. I mean, I don't know how old they were, but they were like between 18 and 22, probably.
Yeah,
were running around fucking snatched up cop guns.
Yep. Somebody asked, and this is what I'm curious when he comes on the show. Somebody asked why the cop left his gun in his car.
Their rifles and shotguns, usually, unless they need them for something specifically, are in a rack inside the vehicle.
Mm.
They stay there.
Gotcha.
They're like in the trunk under stuff because the police officer needs to be able to access it quickly.
Sure.
You don't really plan for the eventuality of your car getting set on fire and your weapons getting looted because of a riot. You know what I mean? Like that's just, you don't build that into your normal day to day shit.
So did he got the weapons back from the kids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently the one that you see in the video, that kid had shot four rounds into that police car that was right there.
Stop.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So he walked up and held him at gunpoint and took the fucking weapon away from him and then
I like guns. I'm just bad at them. So like I know if I ever I want a gun and I'm like I think if anything happened that I needed to use it, I'd probably get so flustered I'd shoot myself or my girlfriend.
Well,
like I just
we can help you with that.
Yeah. Dan can train you real quick.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm more of like, oh, let me have a panic room over like a gun.
Well, you can have both.
Because then I can go in the panic room and call people with guns to
get a panic room and then have a crew served weapon mounted on it. You could shoot over the top.
And then you're good to go.
Like I always wonder, like, why not just build a house with just sleeping gas in the vents, right? Like, oh, someone breaks in. You're like, honey, let's go in our little closet. Boom. It's a nonviolent, like, de-escalation. Police show up. Take away these criminals. There's no need to shoot. There's nothing. Like,
right.
Everyone go to bed.
I know from my perspective, I wouldn't get to shoot someone. And that would really affect my life.
Why?
Because I want to.
But why wouldn't you get to?
Because if he's knocked out on sleeping gas, I can't walk up and put two rounds in his head.
You can, no, man. You know,
no, you
want to make sure he's out for good.
No.
He's sleeping for good.
No, I mean, you could probably put some gloves on and asphyxiate him or something like that. But look, that's a lot more work than just me rounding a corner and shooting some dum-dum three times in the chest.
What you just said is reverse strangulation. You strangle somebody else while you masturbate. I mean, that's also a kink that you should highly consider.
Have you ever been privy to like a burglary or robbery? Or you like? I've never had anything happen to me.
No,
I have. I've been robbed three times, and all three times I was sleeping, and I never heard the guy. And they were in and out, and one guy was in and out in 19 seconds, and he came in, and he only took wallets and keys, and he was in and out in 19 seconds. I was sleeping. The other one. It was I had a guest house out back, and we decked it out as like a fucking man cave with like TVs and video games and all that other shit. And there was a ping pong table in there, and when they came in and stole everything, they folded the ping pong table up so that you couldn't see through the window of the guest house that anybody was in there. And then they took all the shit out the back, and I was like, God damn it. But I was having some work done at the house, so I know who fucking did that. And I told homeboy, I was like, hey man, I know it was your guys, like, and they took it off the price of whatever they were doing. And then the other ones, and all of these were LA, by the way. And then I've had three cars stolen there in Los Angeles. Total.
Yeah.
All three were recovered, though. I will say that. The police found them. So.
No, I've never had the opportunity, to be honest. Not that I would invite that. Like, I'm not trying to. It's too much paperwork at that point, to be honest.
It sucks. But, yeah, it's miserable.
Yeah, but like, I would love to. I mean, like, exacting justice is kind of on brand for
that's,
me.
Yeah.
It's
the shower fantasy, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You stand in the shower and you're like, if it was me, like,
I've been in dozens of real gunfights, though. So for me, it would just be like, it's, I don't want to say this. I don't want to sound like a fucking psychopath here. But it's a little bit of a fucking badge to get a stateside kill.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You don't have one.
No.
You don't have one. So at least you still have a dream to stay alive for.
Yeah. Yeah, at some point, someone's going to fuck up.
Right. Oh, my God.
And just hopefully it's your house, you know?
Right.
I've been carrying a concealed handgun for, 18 years now. And every single day. Most every day. I've never had to actually pull it out. I've put my hand on it before in one situation, but I've never actually had to remove it
from my pants to do anything. Not once in that whole time. But I've still not stopped carrying it every single day.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Could you envision using it outside of your home? Like in a situation?
Oh, yeah. Like if I saw somebody getting robbed at gunpoint, I'd shoot that motherfucker in the face a number of times.
See, my whole thing would be I'd be afraid that somehow I would get in trouble for that.
Well, you just got to know the law. Like it's called aggressor laws, right? So it kind of establishes who's in the right and who's in the wrong. For example, you can use deadly force in almost every state to protect yourself if you have a reasonable threat of death or serious bodily injury, provided you are not the person who initially instigated that. Like if you walk up and punch somebody in the face and then he pulls out a bat and tries to come at you, that 21-foot rule in a lot of states doesn't apply. Yeah. Like a 21-foot rule is if you have a melee weapon, whether it's a blunt object or a knife or something like that, and you're within 21 feet of me and you start to move forward, I could shoot you in the face. So some of that stuff gets changed around a lot if you're the original asshole. You know what I mean? And it's meant to protect people from getting baited into shit, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
if you don't have my craziest gun experience, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I had to go to Guadalajara with Little John once to go visit the Don Julio distillery. Like in 2010, Don Julio made like me and Little John and a few other people like ambassadors. Mm. At the time, I was drinking a shit ton of Patron and all my party photos had that. So Don Julio was like, come on our team. And I was like, yeah, whatever. So they flew us to Guadalajara and you land and this fucking trucks that pick you up is like, we had a procession of like six like SUVs with guys with guns, and they would follow us to hotel, to nightclub, to the distilleries, everywhere. And I, you know, I'm curious little white Jewish kid, like I gotta ask all these questions. And I said, like, what's the reasoning behind this? I said, well, it's like Man on Fire, a lot of kidnappings. Mm. And I was like, yeah, but do we need this much fire? Like, this is more petrifying to me just thinking that I have to like act normally in the situation when there's like this many dudes. Like, what do they know that I don't? And they said, no, you don't need this. They're like, we just like to have a big dick swinging contest just so they don't get curious to try. Like, this is all intimidation. They're like, we can handle this without them, but we don't even want to give them a reason to try. Mm. So they're like, this is more of like, hey, we're riding around like this. Like, don't even try to pull us over. You know, we can kill you.
What's it like partying with Little John?
Most hangover I've ever been in my life. Every time. That man drinks so much tequila. It's insane. Mm. Insane.
I think I've done quite a bit of drinking with quite a few black people. I grew up in a black neighborhood for a long time. And I've got a lot of friends that I've done some serious drinking with. And I thought like going to parts of Europe where they drink professionally, like Poland or fucking Ireland or something like that, you learn a thing or two about what you thought was drinking when you were in high school and college. You're like, damn, these motherfuckers are just like on a different level. It seems like black dudes especially will have their one drink and they can drink infinity of it and still maintain their upright position. Like, as long as they drink whatever it is, their vodka or whiskey or fucking tequila, which they stay with their brand, whatever the fuck it is. Yeah. They can, because my buddy Malin used to be able to do that. He would drink whatever fucking brand it was. He would drink it, and I'm like, man, I'm fucking hammered. He goes, shut up, bitch. I'm like, what the fuck, man?
Like cases. But it's like.
But as soon as they drink something else, it's over. I wonder what that is. There's got to be some kind of scientific explanation for why you can drink the same kind of drink, and then it doesn't affect you that much, and then when you switch to something else, it fucks you up.
There definitely is, but you're looking at the wrong moron. You're the one with all the answers on this podcast discussing physics and the square Earth and Albert Einstein, and I don't really know anything.
Well, I didn't know that Einstein had kids, so there's always room for improvement.
I didn't know that,
yeah.
Always room for improvement. Now I know, and knowing is half the battle.
Kirill, where can everybody find you on social media?
My Instagram is just Meanie, MEANIE. If you're listening to this podcast and it's like 4 months later, I'm sure I've gotten kicked off. So I'll have
it. No, this will be up and at them on Sunday night.
Sunday night.
Oh, no. I just mean that this podcast, if someone goes back in time and listens to it, this account is probably not going to be active at the rate that they delete it. I think on the last one I plugged my old one. So
yeah, you can just follow Linda Feingold on.
Do that, guys. Just visit the merch store.
Yeah,
give me some of your money. Give me some of your money, and I'll waste it on really dumb, silly shit that you've always wanted somebody to do.
Kirill, man, you're one of the funniest dudes out there. Thanks for being on the show. For Kirill, D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is Drinking Bros. Good night, everyone.